My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and this is a ministry of Merit Assembly of God and some faithful listeners throughout Brevard County. We are blessed to be a blessing, and so we were thankful. We were doing some renovations, and there was a person that listens to the radio broadcast that we were able to bless with some of the stuff that we had, and that person blesses us. I mean, I believe that the body of Christ should be a mutually beneficial relationship where we're both operating for the glory of the Lord. And at Merit Assembly of God, we want to be a blessing not only to God spiritually, but we want to be a blessing to as many different people as we possibly can. And we're not able to necessarily bless them in the ways that they would like to be blessed, but I tell you what, if you can get delivered from some stuff, you will find that there's blessings all over the place. I heard a testimony one time about a man who was really in a horrible situation financially. He got saved, and all of a sudden, because of the pervasiveness of his salvation that permeated the entirety of his being, it affected his finances, and all of a sudden his family started having food, or had money for food, and they had money for other stuff because he got delivered from some things. And another person had gotten saved, and they were doing a missions convention, and the guy was just, I mean, things were pretty tight budget wise. And he said, "God, I really have a heart to give, but I don't have any resources to give." And God said, "I tell you what, why don't you give me the money that you've set aside for this vice in your life?" And he did that, got delivered from that. And that faith promise that he made not only touched other people's lives, but it brought healing and health into his life today. So we really are blessed to be a blessing, and we are thankful that part of that blessing that we have experienced is bringing this radio program to you Monday through Friday right here on WMIE and today's Modern Worship 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM. So want to let you know, we have one of our infamous Fifth Sunday potluck dinners this week. It is going to be absolutely fantastic. Some of the people will be there, and it'll be the first time they've seen some of our upgraded work in our fellowship hall. So we're looking forward to that. We do want to say once again, thank you to everyone who helped sponsor to a young person to go to youth camp this summer. They'll be leaving on Monday. We do not have service on Sunday night, and we do not have service on Wednesday night, July the 3rd. So I want to let you know about that before it happens, in case you were planning on visiting during that week. Last Wednesday night, or a little over a week ago, I was having to really press on with a project, and we had three visitors. And we were excited about that, excited to meet them. And, you know, we want to let you know, if you were planning on visiting on Wednesday the 3rd, we're not going to be having service that night. So I want to take you back to Romans chapter 7, verse number 21 today. Romans chapter 7, verse number 21. It says, "Then I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the Lord, but with the flesh the law of sin." So we've talked about on yesterday's program to delight in the law of God in your innermost being, because sometimes, even though you are intending to do good, you have willed to do good, that evil may be present. It may be right there looking for the next opportunity to do damage to your life. And that which is defined as evil is that which is worthless. It has no value whatsoever. You know, if you talk to nutritionists, they will tell you to avoid things that have little to no nutritional value in it. If you talk to a financial person, they will tell you to avoid doing things financially that have no financial investment capabilities whatsoever. Now, in doing those things, by doing away with those things, you are going to be depriving yourself of some instant gratification, but you are going to experience some long-term benefits. I believe it's Dave Ramsey says, if you will live like no one else today, in the future you will be able to live like no one else, because you are going to be liberated from all of the bondages and the weights that carry other people down. So with that being said, let me take you to Romans chapter 7, verse number 21. Verse number 24. We've already read the passage, but know that you are in a real battle. Know that the devil isn't just intending on, you know, making you a vassal state. He wants to bring a destruction into your life. And so finally, this level of frustration that we have been talking about because of this war that is going on in the different makeups of our being, Paul cries out in verse number 24, "O wretched man that I am! O wretched man that I am!" I want to ask you, how does that fit with the modern philosophy that says, "I'm okay, you're okay"? How does that work? Have we lost that sense of assessment, where we don't recognize our own wretchedness? And this word wretched, it means miserable. Paul, in this battle that was going on, it was creating a sense of misery. I will tell you this, that when God is in your life, God is leading in your life, God is leading you not into temptation, and God is delivering you from evil, that you are not going to have a high misery index in your life. A lot of people love drama. They love crises in their life. They just thrive on moving from one crisis to another crisis and sowing strife and discord. And you've heard it said that a hurting person hurts other people. There are a lot of hurting people in the world. There are a lot of miserable people in the world, and they want other people to be as miserable as they are. I want you to know that God is not looking for you to be miserable. He is not looking to leave you and I in a state of wretchedness. He is looking to lead us into victory. Okay? But if we are deceiving ourselves and deluding ourselves to the point that we think that we are living the life, I mean, we are experiencing life to the uttermost, when in actuality our condition is wretchedness and we're in a miserable condition. And I want you to see that Paul says, "O wretched man that I am." He knew what. Now, you see, there are a lot of people that will say, "Well, you don't ever admit the negative. You don't ever admit. You don't give any acknowledgement to whatever to the fact that you're sick or anything like that." I want you to know, I'm not into those semantical games. Here, Paul says that this is an accurate assessment of where he is at. What do you think America would look like spiritually if all of a sudden we realized that all of the toys that we had bought, all of, listen, I heard this celebrity say one time that one of her dreams was to try this illegal substance with a bunch of other adults, knowing that that substance has killed a lot of people. Why would you want to do that? You see, there are a lot of people, they have everything the world has to offer, and yet they have not found any satisfaction. I remember hearing a person that had reached the pinnacle of their career, and once they reached the pinnacle, they did not find it satisfying at all. That is what we're talking about here with Paul. He had been more zealous for God than his peers. He had persecuted the church, all of that stuff that was going on in him before, and he says, here is an accurate assessment of what living the life where the flesh is warring against the law of God in your mind, and your members are fighting against your will, and the spirit is warring against the flesh. Here's what Paul said. I was miserable. When will we come to the place that we recognize that our way isn't working? And it's like, you know what? I'm tired of the failure. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then he asked this question. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And so I preached this message one time when I was pretty new to Merit Assembly of God, probably in the first couple of years. And I'm a big believer in visual reinforcement of the message, that if there is just words that are coming, if you don't take notes, then you're going to forget what is said. But the things that you see, that this is one of the reasons why pornography is a tool that the enemy uses very effectively in people's lives, is because it provides a visual stimulation. And from what I have been told, I'm no expert in this field, but the things that you see are some of the hardest things to forget. And the more that you see, the even more challenging to forget. And so this is particularly effective more in the male side of things. You know, where we are greatly impacted by the things that we see. That's why we as men have to really be diligent about utilizing our eyes for visual input of things that are holy and righteous and true. Don't be making yourself miserable through giving the devil access to your visual input. It's not going to work out well for you. Not going to work out well for you. So I was talking to this person here not too long ago, and I told them that pornography is sold as a way of supposedly enhancing a person's intimacy life, and it actually is a great big lie, because it doesn't do that. It actually has the opposite effect. It gets to the place where you've got to see something that is more and more depraved, and it causes a real life relationship to be a bigger and bigger challenge. It actually has been shown in some studies that people who get so wrapped up into the pornographic side of things that it becomes virtually impossible for them to have a real life relationship. Not true for the Christian, where we find our satisfaction not in some fantasy. By the way, guys, I will tell you this, the image that you're looking at, and it's supposed to be all smiles and all, they're not smiling at you. They're smiling at what a fool they're making of you. Okay? Not not the way that we are supposed to behave. We find satisfaction not in chasing fantasies. The Bible says he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. But ladies, you are more susceptible to images that you portray, words that come across. They impact to a deeper level than what words do in a man's life. You know, so people have said all sorts of things about me, and most of the time it has very little effect on me. I look at it and say, hey, you know, is there any truth in this? If there's not any truth, I just discard it and move on. I'm much more interested in what God has to say about me than what people have to say about me. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, the solution to the dilemma that Paul has faced in Romans chapter 7 is not in greater discipline. It is not in greater determination that we saw in verse number 21, the one who wills to do good. The one is not to have a greater and more effective plan. What it is we need a deliverer. We need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. Who will deliver me from this body of death? A lot of times people are looking and they can identify all sorts of problems in other people, but they don't recognize the war zone that is going on in their own life. They don't recognize their own wretchedness and their own misery. I believe that one of the best things that can happen to a believer is to gain an adequate understanding of just how horrific our sin, how damaging to God our sin was, and the price he was willing to pay so that we could be delivered. Who will deliver me from this body of death? So when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, probably been there 2 or 3 years, I was preaching on this passage, and in my study, I had run across an early church father who had identified that one of the things that Romans used to do was, in fact, I can tell you, it was within the first couple of years that I was at Merit Assembly of God, because I talked to somebody who worked in this field, that one of the things that Romans would do is if there was a person who had committed murder, that one of their punishments was that they would literally bind a dead body to this living person. Now, I want to tell you that one day we brought home our groceries, and we have a freezer. It's in a different part of the house than our refrigerator, but we bought our groceries home, and there was a package of chicken that was supposed to go into the freezer, and it got set up on top of the freezer while there was some reorganization that was going on, and it was forgotten up there. We're talking chicken, small package of chicken. And I walked out into the garage after about a day or so where the chicken had thawed. And I was like, oh, man, I must have run over something with the mower. And so I opened the garage door up, and I hauled the mower out, and I washed the mower down real good in case there was something that had found its way onto the mower that I couldn't find. And so I got it clean, and yet the scent was still there. And so being a guy, I'm thinking, you know, something has crawled into the dryer vent and has died in the dryer vent. And so I pull out the dryer and disconnect the vent hose, and I get that all cleaned out, and still the scent was there. About that time, my wife came home, and she began to track down the source of this odor that was permeating not just the garage, but it was permeating our house. And that's where we found this one little bitty package that was creating this horrific stench that was going on in our garage. Can you imagine the misery that this person that we're talking about in ancient Rome, where they would take a decaying body and they would attach it, and not only would it be a horrible smell, I mean, changing the atmosphere, people wouldn't want to be around you. It would be a horrible visual symbol. It would be a horrible atmosphere to be around. And also, this body that is decaying would be attracting all sorts of bugs. Things that are that feast on things that are dead. And there, as that body would decompose, this commentary said that body that was decomposing that which was dead would also begin to decompose that which was alive. This early church father says this is the picture that Paul is painting here, in that he's alive, but there is this area of death that he carries around with him on a constant basis. It causes him to be disregarded by people that he used to hang around with. It affects everything that is going on. Everywhere he goes, there is this living versus death that is going on, this point of contention, this war that is going on. Can you imagine when he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Can you imagine? It's something that's very real. It's very important. He says, if I'm going to live, if I'm going to thrive, I've got to have someone who can not only has the ability to liberate me from this thing that is destroying me, but also has the authority to do it. And he says this, "I thank God that there is such a person. I thank God that even though I've got this battle that is raging inside of me, there is one that can put an end to the conflict. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Through Jesus Christ our Lord. What if we recognized that there was a real battle that is going on for our spiritual life? There is a real battle that was going on, that the members of our flesh were waging war against the commands of God that are in operation in the law of our mind, or in our mind. What if there was a recognition that was going on, and it was not just for our spiritual life, but it was for our family life? It was a battle that was truly raging for our health. Can I encourage all of us today? Let's not take our health for granted, just waiting for the next negative diagnosis from the doctor. Let's be proactive in seeking to make the temple of the Holy Spirit a healthy and holy temple. What if I told you that there was a war that was going on, and if it's not careful, that marriage that brought you great joy at the beginning can be used by the enemy to bring you to a place of wretchedness, a place of misery, and you can't even remember what was going on? But I'm here to tell you, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ can restore you back to that place of joy. Listen, there are a lot of people that I know that were at that place where they couldn't stand one another, and now they can't stand to be apart from one another. But it only happens because of Jesus. What if I told you didn't have to be miserable in your finances if you would allow Jesus to deliver you from the things that are diminishing your financial capabilities, destroying your financial capabilities. It takes a deliverer. Oh, wretched man that I am, I don't know what battle, what is dying in your life, what's attacking the very vibrancy of your soul, but I can tell you this, it will not be defeated just by being a person of good intentions. I don't care how driven you are. Just as all of us need a Savior, we all have to have a deliverer. And His name is Jesus. I thank God. Verse number 25 concludes, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want us to close out today's broadcast by saying, thank God that Jesus is my deliverer. That instead of being sentenced to a life of decay, a life of misery, a life of wretchedness or worthlessness, a life where there's constantly a battle going on, that thank God Jesus will come and deliver me from those things that are trying to destroy me. I thank God. Don't wait until the delivery happens. It means that word, I want to remind you, delivery is talking about a rushing mighty current, a rescue, a deliverer, where someone comes in and takes you to a completely different level, a completely different destination. The other day I sent a message to Paul, the station manager here. And I noticed something on that message that I rarely had noticed, and that was that as soon as I hit the send button, it said, delivered. Delivered. He hadn't responded yet, but it said, the message is delivered. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus is the one who can deliver you and deliver me from this body of death. Thank God. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you. I was breathing.